Good morning, everyone. Today it is a sunny day. We've had some rainy Sundays in the past, but it's sunny. Nice day to be out. Nice day to enjoy God's creation. See the beautiful sky. Trees, flowers. Just take time to enjoy that. See what God's created. Today our lesson, well, two things. Since Bree sat in the class last week, she said, well, you never mentioned what lesson you were on. So, lesson 9 today. I mean, I don't really follow verse by or word by word anyway. I kind of do my own notes. But just in case you are wondering, it's lesson 9. Now, I do need a volunteer to teach 3 weeks from today on June 23rd. So, if you're interested in that, see me afterwards. I will not be here that day. Now, if a whole bunch of you come up, which I expect, like 3 or 4 of you to come run up here afterwards, I mean, I'll have to choose one of you. Today, our lesson is fuel, and it's embracing loving service. So we're going to talk about how love is incorporated in our service to the Lord. But first, we'll begin with the prayer. Father God, we thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for creating such things that we may enjoy in this life. Most of all, we thank you for our Savior and the blessings we have through Christ, for he brought salvation to mankind through his death. Father, we desire to serve you, and we want to do that in love. And we pray that our service to you is what you would have us do. Father, we thank you for the example that our Savior left and that truly love he showed when he gave up his life for us. May we be living sacrifices as we live, giving our total self to you and to others. Thank you for each one here this morning, for we have found it important enough to gather with the saints to study your word and to worship you. Be with those who are teaching. And we pray that together we're better able to serve you and to go into this world and show others that Christ lives in us. Continue to be with us as we strive for that zeal, that burning in our hearts, that we just may serve you to the best of our abilities. Thank you again for this time. Thank you for our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So, as I usually ask, anything in your life that caused you maybe to be give you an opportunity to be more zealous?
Well, I think for me, I had company yesterday all day long, and a couple of the ladies, one used to work with me, and the other one does work with me, but for me, it just, seeing them and, knowing that, maybe they... It makes me want to, you know, teach more, seeing other people that may be out in the world and don't even know. Because it's just, I remember the first time I, you know, got taught the gospel, and that light just clicks. And it's just amazing, because it's just like, wow, it's so simple. And just, I want to help the dear friends that I had that came and treated me, you know, for my birthday. And it made me more zealous, because like, I want to help them and others.
Right. Sure, it makes sense.
Wanting them to have the same feeling that I had.
Yeah. Well, that's the burning in your heart. You want to share with others. And that's excellent. And we see through your life that you are an example to everyone that comes in contact with you. It's a good thing. We'd love to see that. Anyone else have we have opportunities all the time. It just, I mean, it could be anything. Like she said, just talk to a friend. Take that opportunity. When we fail to take the opportunity, then, you know, that's on us. And then we might be hurting someone else. It may be their only opportunity to hear. And I will say this again. When something arises, Marcia has something that she's kind of worried about in her life, she's concerned about. Many people said, well, I'll pray for you. It's so very important. Where's our list? So remember Marcia, of course, in your prayers. If that's your strong point in life, then continue to pray for those who need prayers. Delays, of course. Debbie and Steve as they travel. Almost everybody here has something that we need to pray for, you know. We have our weaknesses. We have, as we get older, we have the aches and the pains and the medical issues. We have to pray for one another, be concerned for one another, have love for one another. And I do appreciate when someone asks for prayers that people immediately start praying. You don't have to post that on Facebook, but if somebody asks you on Facebook for prayers, then tell them, I'm praying for you. But it's not necessary. You can pray without people knowing that you're praying. Serving the Lord, we need to be sincere. We need to be honest, wholehearted, or heartfelt. Free from hypocrisy or looking for recognition. Love is the key. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, and as you know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love. That's the other thing. I knew I was failing to remember. Louie had to go to the hospital this week. A ton of you, if not all of you, were concerned for him. Teresa asked for prayers, and immediately, I don't know how many people saying where they were praying for him. Fortunately, they can't find anything besides migraine. They think maybe he had a migraine that caused all of his issues, but he's back. He's here today. Prayer's answered, correct? So that was another thing that I like to see when people involved in prayer. 1 Corinthians 13, we're just going to look at these verses here about love, how important it is to have that in our life and our service to the Lord. Tom, you're looking at me. I can see your eyes. Read verses 1 through the beginning of verse 8. 13, 1 through verse 8, where it says love never fails. Please.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clinging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love is not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails.
That's how important love is in our life. We can have all kinds of qualities, but if we don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. How many of you had those verses read at your wedding? Do you remember? Can any of you remember back that far? Doug? Too long ago? My father read those verses to us. Breeze and I were married in 1983. My father read those verses. I remember them. And I was shaking. I was shaking like that. I still shake when I think about that. It's not funny. No. Why were those verses read? Because I needed to have love in my life. I needed that to lead me through life, through marriage. 36 years later, still here. A little bruised, a little battered, but I'm still here. John 14:23 says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Isn't that an amazing verse? It says, my Father will love him, the one who keeps the words, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's amazing. He who does not love me does not keep my words. That's a fantastic verse. A lot of times we read over verses and it's just, we don't really look at it like we should. It means a lot. When you really get down and take it apart, our God is one with us, with the Savior. It's fantastic. We will have much success in life when our zeal is fueled by love and service. Turn over to John. John 15. Let's read a few verses about loving one another. John 15. Who likes to read? Laura likes to read. Okay. Laura, please read 1 through 8, and Phelan, if you would read 9 through 17, please.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down one's life for the grave. You are my angel, you are my commission. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Your fruit shall be revealed, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, you may give you.
These are very similar to John 14. In the fact that he chose us, we are in him, he is in us. You know, we are one. Just like a marriage, you become one. Well, the Father with us and the and our Savior Jesus become one. We think as they think. We should. And that's how our zeal was perfected, our love and joy perfected, when we act like them. Loving one another, loving the Father, keeping his commandments. That's how we are successful. You know, the one story in the book where they spent a good page talking about it was Phinehas, Numbers 25. So let's look over there. And let's see what this man did in his love to the Lord. So it says here, Numbers 25, starting at verse 1. It says, now Israel remained in Acacia Grove. And if you want any information on that, you know, Israel is still in the wilderness, wandering, of course. And they were told at times by those who led Moses, and of course God led them to certain places where they stopped. It doesn't this even this sounds like the Acacia Grove. It sounds like a nice place where you want to stop, because there was probably fruits on the trees, there was water. So anyway, they stopped here. But look what it says. Now, this is a place that God selected them to stop from their wanderings. Immediately, the people began to commit harlotry with the women in Moab, because they were in Moab at the point at that time. They immediately, their minds come off of God, which they do all through the Old Testament. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. That just shows you how serious God is against evil and against sin. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. Baal of Peor was a Moabite idol. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. I'm always amazed at these numbers. And these were killed because God said, go kill these people. But the amount of people, 24,000. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. So because Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, saw what was being done and took action, took the javelin, killed a man and the woman, he stopped the plague that was among the children. Therefore, say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite who was killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, the son of Salu. I should have had Tom read these. A leader of the father's house among the Simeonites. And the woman of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cosbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head of the people of a father's house in Midian. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, harass the Midianites and attack them, for they harassed you with their schemes by which they seduced you in the matter of Peor, in a matter of Cosbi, the daughter of a leader of Midian, their sister, who was killed in the day of plague because of Peor. So they spent so much time in the book because this man was zealous. He saw evil and he wanted to wipe it out. He saved thousands, where there was plenty that died. Imagine how many would have continued to be killed if he didn't stop the evil. Now, I don't think any of us would go out with a spear and start cleaning up the evil around Louisville. Maybe you want to do that, but that's not the way we do it. We can be the servant of the Lord in other ways. Failing.
I'm just attacking our own people.
to do it the same way he did it. We have to wipe it out. Dead. Like the commercials for that product that kills ants. Wipe it out dead, I think it used to be. They used to say. That's before you, Justin. This goes way back. Wipe it out dead. That's the way sin should be. But he was zealous for the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he removed that evil from among them and saved many, many people. Turn over to Romans 12. Talking about ways that we can be out of love, serve the Lord, and serve others. Let's look at Romans 12. As much as we can in Romans 12. The first part, the first verse, thing that I want to talk about, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Somebody tell me what a living sacrifice is. Tell the class. Now, we've heard this word. We've heard this many, many times. What's a living sacrifice? Failing.
Person hurts you, person sins against you,
company others are for myself, and that, you know, I sacrifice my secular wants maybe at that moment to someone else.
Right.
Because their needs are more important than my needs, and I need to offer it up for the Lord.
Okay.
And it's because you're softened by love. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds good. Good morning, sir. Good. All right, let's go to verse 2. Well, actually, living sacrifice, then it says holy. I mean, if we're a living sacrifice, and back in the Old Testament, they had to give sacrifices that were without blemish, correct? So as we give, as we live a living sacrifice, then we should be striving for lack of blemish. We want to be perfect, holy, acceptable to God. But verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let's comment, let's look at that verse. Shouldn't be that hard. What do you think about that? What's that saying, Doug? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Again, you got your do's and your don'ts. You know, you don't want to be like the world. It's so easy to do. The world puts so much pressure on you to be conformed, to be transformed, to be like them, to fit in. You don't want to do that. You have to be in the world, you have to be part of it.
All right. How's that affect our serving the Lord? Being not conformed to the world. And serving the Lord, how does that affect our life? If we're conformed to the world, how does that affect others? They don't see any difference, do they? If we're changed, transformed, then they do see the difference in our lives, in our service. All right. Let's go to verse 3. It says, I'm not reading every word, but not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, that's hard for us, isn't it? To be humble, not to think of ourselves bigger and better than the next person. Maybe we have more education. Maybe we have more money. Maybe we have, you know, on and on and on. It doesn't make you think God's impressed with what we have materially. God has given us everything he has. That we have. But we ought not think of ourselves better than the next person. Jesus died for all of us. Verse 4 says, for we have, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So, in serving the Lord, how's this take place? We're all different people. We're all serving the Lord. Robin. All right. Tom.
And on addition of that, Christ is the head.
Right.
So we're following his example and the commands that he's given us to follow.
We all have our abilities. We've talked about this many times. If we stop doing, if Sharon, you stop doing what you're doing, that affects all of us. Martha, you, if Martha wasn't here, she's always here, she's right here all the time. If she just stopped coming, would that affect us? Well, sure it would. Everybody here has a job to do. It may be sitting in a certain spot and showing others that this is important to you. It may be on Facebook that you pray. You pray whenever somebody needs prayers. That's what you do. We have deacons here, Doug and Bill. They come in here. Doug sets up the PowerPoint every time he comes in here. You don't hear him complaining about it. Do you see the grass cut outside? Well, Bill does that all the time. You hear him complain about it. No, that's just what he does. That's what we've asked him to do. That's what he does. Everybody has a task to do. If for some reason you saw the grass 2 feet high, you would know somebody forgot to do it. Someone just decided they weren't going to do it. We can't have that attitude anywhere in the church. Well, I just decided I'm not going to do it. And I appreciate all of you that you have talents, you have abilities, and you use them. Just recently, our sister Brianna here, she needs a ride. She wants to be picked up because she wants to be here. Justin, you said that the other night too. You were sick, but you want to be here. Love that. But Brianna needs a ride. How many people volunteered? A ton of you volunteered to go pick her up. While she would like to drive. She even said, give me the keys, I'll drive. She needs a ride. And we appreciate those of you who volunteered to pick her up. She appreciates that. But we all have, and especially spiritually, we have our abilities. We can be preachers, we can be teachers. And I love that you use your abilities, whatever they are. God appreciates them more. But we work together. We work as one body. And verse 7 says, if you have ministry or you're able to teach, you exhort, you give. That's another thing that we've kind of taken on more this year. Just being concerned about each other, but those in this world that are suffering. There's many people, especially in Louisville, they don't have a place to live. There's a lot of people living under a bridge downtown. That's what they have. All of us could be concerned about that. I know several of us have taken clothes different places. We've taken food and passed it out. I mean, that's not a work of this particular congregation, but individually, that's what we do. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Somebody want to explain what hypocrisy is?
Presenting yourself one way, but not being that way inside.
All right. Coming across like you really love everybody, but really don't. Of course, God sees through us, knows what we're really thinking.
But eventually, won't it come out? What's in your heart?
It will come out, won't it?
Yes.
Certainly. It will show. Our true selves do come out. You can't fake it for long. Be kindly affectionate to one another, and that shows a true love. That is without hypocrisy, when you are kindly affectionate to one another. Brotherly love, honoring, giving preference to one another. Philippians 2:3 says, each esteem others better than himself. That's hard to do. But we work on it. Not lagging in diligence. We've talked about that. Isn't that what zealous is? Diligence. Let's not lag in diligence. Let's not be lazy. We studied that in Proverbs recently. Laziness doesn't go over well with the Lord. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, verse 12. And I know there's much prayer from all of you. That's how we succeed with each other, with as a congregation, and with the needs of our brothers and sisters. Prayer talks about distributing to the needs of the saints. Bless those who persecute you. How about rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep? How are we doing with that? If we love others, then we can rejoice with them when they're smiling and when they're laughing and when they have a new baby in their life or a new grandchild in their life, you can rejoice with them. Our great, great Sue's got like 1,000 children, grandchildren, great grandchildren. Do you have great, great?
No, just
not okay. The last I saw, 32 great grandchildren. That's a reason to rejoice, isn't it? So. Weep with those who weep. Pray for those who are suffering. Pray for those who have a lot on their mind. We have people here that have a lot on their mind, that have a lot to think about. Maybe it would cause worry, but we pray for them. They pray for themselves. If we love, we repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Repay no one evil for evil. Verse 20 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. That's something else that we have to, hopefully we don't have enemies in the church. And enemies might be because they don't like us. We shouldn't just hate people. Sometimes we have enemies because they've made themselves enemies to us. Not that we've chosen that. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's just what chapter I wanted to go over. Luke 17, verse 10 says, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. So we're not special people because we've done these things. We've done these things because that's what's expected of us. And God's happy with us. So let's continue to be zealous for the Lord, loving one another, loving the Lord, and be